Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This radio program, this satsang, is for Saturday, October 17th, 2015. And I'm very grateful you chose to be with me as we have some interesting questions on being human. What does that mean? What does it mean to be human? And we're going to talk a little bit about that, or I am. And I hope this is of interest to you. I want to remind you that this radio program, as well as our TV programs and everything we do here at Aspire, is supported strictly and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. Your donations make all of this possible. And if you're a sponsor, you have made this possible. And if you are listening to this, it's from the kind generosity of sponsors that you get to hear these programs. So I hope that some of you will become sponsors. We're in our year-end drive right now, and your donations, year-end gifts, and if you become a sponsor, will be matched by our mystery donor. And this is really a wonderful thing. And for your sponsorship, you'll receive the message of the month. And when I make my new series on the Beatitudes, you'll receive a copy of those CDs as well as my gift. There will be all these things for you for being a sponsor. You're helping humankind in a most unique way. In the only way, really, it can be helped through your donations. So I hope that you will be kind and make a donation today. Become a sponsor and help us, won't you? It's a very important thing. It really is. I thank you for your kindness. Being human, boy, what does that mean? We can talk about humanity. We can analyze humanity. We can dissect humanity. But really, what is it? What does it mean to be human? And people tell you, oh, it's to be fully human. Well, really? That means you would be maybe human enough to kill, be mean, do stealing, lying, cheating. That's being fully human, you know. Who is not fully human? I think we all are. I don't think we need to explore that too much. We all know what it means to be fully human. I love hearing people say, I'm fully human. Really? Okay, let's get to the first question. This is from Craig. He listens to us in Minnesota. Okay. And he said, did God make us humans for reasons we cannot know or understand? Do we really have potentials other than human? Craig. I'm not a Bible guy, Craig. I see it as metaphor. And there's so many fingers in the pie of the human, I mean of the Bible, and the human, I should say. The human's in the Bible. It's all about it. I have a hard time deciphering all of that. I have read and listened for years to scholars and pundits talk about the whole idea of how the Bible was translated. And you can see it now more than ever before. We're beginning to find out that a lot of the things that people believed in the 30s and 40s and 50s and even 60s and 70s was just pure garbage, much like it is today. There are traditions and things we didn't know about when people lived in those days, as it were. So to go into the idea of what God's intents were and all of that is truly ridiculous, because we've made God into our own image and our own likeness. We've made him what we want him to be. We even call him a him. And I still don't understand why women aren't in an uproar. I mean, women were crazy when Playboy came out in the 50s and 60s and started showing naked girls or semi-naked girls. And now look where we're at. You can go on the internet and they're doing all sorts of things. And no one's gone crazy over that. But what I'm asking is, you were upset at Playboy for what it did, but you weren't upset at the Bible for what it is. I mean, ladies, and I've done this before, I'm not going to go into it, but, you know, really? You fight over the stupidest things. If you look at the Bible, you're God's second little idea. You came out of the ribs of Adam. You weren't even an original creation. Why aren't you pissed off about that? Really? And wherever you go, there's nothing but trouble. I mean, the minute that Eve hits the scene, there is trouble. Always trouble. The snake, the apple, the whole, oh, geez, shame thing. I mean, we go on and on and on with this. So here's my trouble with your question, Craig, and I'm using it to be honest with you. I'm kind of highlighting it and probably manipulating it here, but I don't know if there is this God. I don't buy God. I don't buy the whole idea of a God in the traditional sense. I know there is a source from which all things are derived out of. And that source is intelligence. It is beauty. It is love. But I'm not willing to give it a name. I'm just not willing to give it a name because the moment I do, I catapult it into Greg's ego, your ego, and it makes me believe I know. And the whole essence of it all is only don't know. I don't want to know. So, did God make us humans for reasons we cannot know? I don't feel God made us like, well, I think I'm going to get up today and make human beings. I'm going to give them a world to live in where they can screw it up in every way possible, killing each other. And I mean, if you look at God and his creations, it is a mess. Looks like something I did in the kitchen. It's horrible, horrible. And yet you can crank out billions of dollars out of people, and you can have people running around in these funny outfits with funny hats and popey things. I don't understand the Pope thing. I don't understand why people don't call him on it. I really don't. He stands there at the White House and says, we got to do something about global warming, which is in direct proportion to overpopulation, of which he is telling everyone, don't use birth control, make more babies. Really? And no one has the balls to call him on it and say, what are you doing? What are you? You're a hypocrite. It's all ridiculous. Religion is ridiculous. It is for the masses. And the masses need religion because they have to be told what to do. So this question, Craig, you asked me, do we really have potentials? Why did God make human beings? Maybe we're an evolution. Possibly we're just an evolution that has nothing to do with religion, has nothing to do with God making man in his own image and likeness. Really, if he did, it's pretty screwed up. I don't want to know this guy. He kills his only begotten son for the rest of us who haven't changed at all. I mean, humanity, you could blow up the world. We'd be fine. I mean, the universe would be just fine. You look at it, what have we done? What have we done? We're still fighting, killing. We're still lying, cheating, stealing. We're still doing it. We have no respect for anything other than our own desires. I mean, really, what would it mean if we blew up today? If the whole earth just blew up, what would it mean? Yeah. You can't look at it from that point of view. If you look at people from a moralistic human point of view, you will miss the whole thing. The potential that lives within us is love. And if you are not seeking love, if you are not seeking the awakening of love within you, then you have missed the whole experience. What the human does is it gives us a sense of being here on earth. It is a vehicle, and it is a very humbling vehicle because we start off pretty cute and pink and we end up really wrinkly and kind of messy. And that's the way we live over and over and over again in many different lifetimes and many different proportions. So what can I really say to you, Craig? Do we really have potentials? Well, of course we do. We have infinite. Why don't we use them? Why don't we go to them? Why don't we work within them? Ah, that's the question. Because I'll tell you why. We don't want to betray the darkness that lives inside of us that we have created through the congregating of our emotions. And this is a long story that I can't tell you here on the radio, but I can tell you this. We like what really entertains and gratifies us more than we are willing to search for love, authentic love. Authentic love is not something we're initially inherently interested in. Affection, emotionality, yes. True love, no. We could care less about it. So we don't do much about it. I was on the gate the other day, the San Francisco Chronicle, and I'm working on this Christmas commentary, as I tell my students tongue-in-cheek, that nobody's going to read because it is candid. And they had the 30 things that people wish they could do over again, and if they had the chance, this is what they'd do. None of those 30 things had anything to do with awakening, spiritual awakening, self-examination, personal development, working with our potentials. It's all about what we regret. Saving more money, being better with money, finding the right person to marry, getting out of bad relationships, spending more time with people we love, telling them that we love them, taking more pictures. This is the kind of stuff the millennials and the X generation are into. They don't see any reason to go any deeper inside. So, Craig, I don't know how old you are. I don't know your religious background or whatever, but I'm sure I've insulted just about everything. I don't feel that God made anything. We're an evolution of ourselves. And we're a preoccupation with emotionality and obsession. And we'll never get past that until we are willing to see what we have done to ourselves. I wish I could help you. But people's intellect usually exceeds their reality. And that's the problem. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, I sit here and marvel at the way people think, understanding that their parents, their kin, didn't do much to help them. Didn't do much at all. Next one comes from Carrie in Las Vegas, Nevada. Las Vegas. You say that humans are flawed. Did God make it this way? It just seems like nothing we do seems to work out, Carrie. Carrie, again, you're blaming this anthropomorphic being that you and I have created in our minds for the mistakes we've made here on Earth. I mean, I hear people say, well, I can't help it. God created me. I did this and I did that. I hear this all the time. I hear it all the time. And I sit and wonder about it constantly, why we just stand there in our life or sit there in our living and don't see the bigger picture at all. We don't even explore it. We don't want to explore it. And that's the killer. You say the human is flawed. Did God make us this way? Carrie asks. We're flawed because we're flawed. We want to be flawed. We like our hate. We like our fear. We will go pay money to be frightened. We will pay large sums of money to be frightened. That's how important it is to us. And fear? Well, we treasure it. Why, without fear, How would you know what's right? I go back to the guy that wrote me years ago and said, you need a certain amount of fear, certain amount to be able to cross the street, because then you'll be wary of danger. Oh, God. I heard the Dalai Lama the other day on iTunes say that there is a certain form of anger that is very necessary, and it's a good thing, anger. And then you got the Pope running around saying we need to do something about global warming, but make more babies. Now, you tell me who made this mess. If you wear funny clothes and a funny hat, or you have an accent and you're from another country and people say you're a llama or whatever, you can say just about anything and everything, and the American public, being what they are, wanting to hear what they want to hear and loving fear and hate so much, will buy it. It's real easy. And everybody just clicks on it and goes, oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. I know that. And that's the way we live our life. I know that. I know that. Did God make us flawed? Well, if you take the Bible literally, yeah. Yeah. He's a dude, isn't he? He's a piece of work. And he, what's worse is he made us and we turned bad, according to what we hear. And I've always been told and have realized throughout my own life that the fish stinks from the head. So it must mean that God's work sucketh. And it's pretty bad. So I can't follow a dude like that. I don't care. I have no problem with it. I have no problem with looking at that and going, this is ridiculous. But people need to believe in God. There's got to be someone in control here. Someone's in charge. You're the one that's in charge, dude and dudette. And how you live from within yourself determines your entire life. Don't be blaming it on God or Jesus or Buddha or anybody else. Whatever is happening in the life you're living, you created it. I created it. And we're all a part of it. We're all a part of everything that happens on this earth. I am not a person who is not responsible for every small thing in this lifetime. I'm not immune to any of it. Whatever happens in Afghanistan, whatever happens in Mississippi, whatever happens in China, I'm as much a part of it, you're as much a part of it as anyone else. And none of us are immune from the effects of it in karma. The global warming situation we see and the heat and the whole thing was something we were told about in An Inconvenient Truth. Whether you like Gore or not, doesn't matter. We're all caught in it. The messenger is not necessarily the message. But in the case of Jesus, Buddha, Lhasa, it is true that the messenger is the message. But we don't get it because we're looking for super beings. We're looking how to duck the situation, say, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I wasn't there. I wasn't there. But we're participating in it. Look at it for a moment. Who listening to my voice right now doesn't have an iPhone or something similar? Who doesn't have an iPad or something similar? All of us. We all have them. I have them. I work with them. They're a tool. But they're also the reason, one of the major reasons why our earth is the way it is and the weather is happening the way it's happening. And we're all using them thinking, well, this didn't hurt anybody to make. Well, how about the little Chinese person sitting there working for 17 cents an hour to make our iPhones, etc., etc.? Did God do that? What do you think? Carrie, did God do that? Did God make this man wrong, this woman wrong, for agreeing to 17 cents an hour? What's going on? Are they being punished? Are they sinners above all others because they suffer such things? What do you think? This is all introspection. This is all assumption. This is all just poppycock. It is ridiculous, but we go for it because we like blaming, we like gossip, and we like looking at other people and thinking we're better than. And because we do all of this, we suffer the consequences on our beautiful planet. So there you are, my friend. I don't know. You say, meaning me, that the human is flawed. It certainly is. Did God make it this way? If you believe in God, yeah. Yeah. If you can drop the idea of a God, a guy in charge or whatever, and start to realize the responsibilities that we all have to the bigger picture of this world and would be willing to look at it from that point of view, then maybe, maybe we can see the spiritual aspect of it all and we could be liberated in it. And there would be a wisdom. And I'll tell you what it would all boil down to that will never happen. I would never make or do anything that would harm another person. That's it. Even in the face of great profit, I would never do it. Just something for you to think about, Carrie. I hope this kind of helped. I am very unpopular, and please forgive me. Namaste. Now I know why I don't have enough sponsors. Okay, last question. Can the human know the spiritual? And this is from Ray, and he doesn't tell me where he lives. Can the human know the spiritual? The human can know about the spiritual, but the human cannot know the spiritual. The human cannot have the direct experience. The human can talk about it, think about it, contemplate it, intellectualize it. Rumi said, and it's so true, that the worst thing that can happen to a person is to have an intellectual understanding of love, but not the direct experience. It is the intellect that keeps us from the direct experience. I can know and think many things. It really doesn't matter. But what does matter is how I live with what I know. The spiritual must supersede the human. I must be willing to drop the human. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, said Jesus. Meaning, the more humble you are, and the more willing to be humble, the more you will know that which lives within you that is beyond anything the human can think of. The human is the human. The flesh is the flesh. The spirit is the spirit. They are two different things. Now, the flesh lives in its own world, in its own rules, in its own life. But the spiritual part of you, totally different. It understands the flesh, but does not participate as the flesh. And that is the key. Until I understand that little equation, I cannot awaken. I can only go along with everything that is happening in and of the world. And I will never see the bigger picture of life. I will never understand the way of the heart, the way of love, the way of goodness. I'll never understand it. You are the way deep inside. The part of you that is not thinking, the part of you that is not flesh, the part of you that is the mystic of your life. You are a mystic, which means you are mysterious. You are beautiful. You come from something that the mind and the human cannot fathom, not even remotely fathom. And if you are willing to move into that direction without the intellect telling you right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, in, out, if you can meditate and want nothing, I mean nothing, with all of your heart, you can have that direct experience. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Everyone can do it. But You have to be willing to want that experience beyond your fleshly logic and reasoning, the stuff that makes you believe you're you. Every day you and I spend copious amounts of time and energy convincing ourselves of who we are, who we believe we are, and who we should be. We spend copious amounts of time doing that. And in living in such a manner, we lose what is truly important in our life. I cannot change that for you. I cannot. I can only share with you the way out. And if you're willing to understand the way out of all of that, I can do very beautiful things for you. I can help you immensely. You are more than you could ever believe in, and you are far, far less than you could ever conceive of, if you know what I mean. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be of service to you, please always feel free to use the little box up at the top that says contact, and I would love to hear from you, such as these people did. You never know who you're going to help. Have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste.